Welcome. So as everybody comes in, that's fine. We're going to start. We got a busy week on tap and things happening. So our first song this morning we're going to celebrate is Chris Tomlin's Our God. So whether you want to sit, stand, however you want to worship, we're going to worship the Lord. Turned it down before, so make sure you, there you go. For this day, we've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with you. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Standing like a cloud, standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show us this morning, God, your presence. Up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we have gathered in your name, God, today to worship you. Thank you, Father, for opening up the heavens. God, we pray that you will just pour out your Spirit upon us today, God, as we worship you. May you bless your people today. Father, may your presence fill this place and flood our lives. In your holy name I ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Well, what's going on in the life of the church? We're still doing Bible study Wednesday night at my home. I've got a couple of chapters left on that book I've been celebrating with you. Just trying to do some music. I've gotten some positive vibes. You know, it's not the same as being together with everybody, but we're still celebrating. We've got a couple of weeks to go, and we'll be back in person. We really haven't decided on our first meal back together, but we'll do that. Metropolitan Church, Saturday, August the 24th. That's coming up as well. What's next? All right, before we go too far, let me give you an update. I know I mentioned last week about the furnaces in the church. So, prior to that, we set out a call to our insurance company. And it has been confirmed that either on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, late in the morning, there was a lightning strike somewhere in the area. They've confirmed it through information, and I don't know how they get that, but there was definitely a lightning strike. So prior to that, we were assuming that we were going to front the bill. We're still assuming that right now, but as of this moment, we have HVACI, which is a high-volume air conditioning inspector, coming out tomorrow morning. They'll be here between 8 and 10 to assess the situation. We've already sent all of the what quotes I have, what information over to the insurance company. Right now we have a $1,000 deductible. So just for information, they're coming to investigate. We don't know where it's going to go from there, but we're crossing our fingers and praying. Worst case is if they at least pay for one of the furnaces and ACs, that'll be huge because that's about $13,000. So the combination that we have, the best price so far for both furnaces and both ACs and all of the ductwork and everything else, I told you, was around $19,000. So even if they pick up one of the furnaces and they pick up some of the repair bill, that's better for us. But if they don't, we know what's in front of us, and we're working towards that. But I just wanted to give you an update. Right now, they're doing some investigation. I filled out paperwork. I've got some more to fill out. You know how it is with insurance companies. So we got to send all the quotes and everything over to them. So we're working through that. I just wanted to give you an update. That's where we're at with that. BethanyChurchofGod.org. We're blessed that God's still allowing us to use that information and still send out the messages. We're holding in prayer. There's quite a few people missing this morning. Let me just give you an update. Gary has been moved to a step-down room. I was able to get over to see him. Sister Jean has been sick. She hasn't been up to see him in a couple of days. But he's moving, progressing forward, and getting better. And I believe they're moving him on to get ready to come on home for returning back to his house. So we'll see. I know that he's in a step-down room. I haven't been over in a couple of days, so I hope to get over to see him again here real quick. Spent some time with him. We watched shows on TV while we were chatting. So Mayberry RFD and the favorite comedian things then. But he's doing well. He was in good spirits when I got a chance to talk to him. We want to keep Suzanne in our prayers and the multitudes that are not with us this morning. I also ask that you keep my wife in prayer Thursday as she has to deal with me. We're moving. I was laughing, but we've got most of the stuff in place, and Thursday will be the surgery around 12:30, so it's outpatient. But pray for her. I can already tell you I'm not going to make a very good patient. So she'll need the prayers as much, but pray for her that... next Sunday morning, I will not be doing the 9:15 worship. I will be here for the main worship, whether I'm sitting or kneeling on crutches, I don't know. But I have my little kneeler. It came yesterday. We've assembled it, and it's officially ready. So, but I will be here Sunday morning, just like normal. I'm not going to miss a beat with that, but just something about not missing church. So I'll be here, whether I'm sitting or kneeling, we'll be here. But that's all I've got for the life of the church. Am I missing anything? The what? Okay. Yeah, I printed it, so it must not have come out, huh? All right. Well, that's that. So, John, just make sure with the music that I get a little more volume up here. I know that you've kind of calmed me down so that I'm not too crazy. But we're going to worship the Lord. The next set of these are going to be a couple of songs that you know. So just whether you sit, stand, however you want to worship, worship the Lord.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, God.
Has promised good to me. His word, my hopes secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. As like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. Will be forever. They called Him Jesus. He came to love. heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He brings. But greater still, the calm this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight like mine, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Life is worth the living just because He lives.
My Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God. Hallelujah for your faithfulness.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all night with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
In prayer as we spend this time. Father God, as we have gathered in your name, Father, we have gathered to celebrate your goodness. Father, what a joy to know that we have an amazing grace. Father, that whatever we face, my chains have been broken. Father, whether it is chains of fear and doubt and frustration, chains of anxiety or stress or financial burdens, God, you have promised an amazing grace. Father, that no matter what, one day, God, that amazing grace is going to flood in, and let it be today, Father, that you will break the chains that hold us back and we'll be the people of God that you have called us. Father, I can live and face tomorrow because you live today, God. What a joy it is to know that with a family of God, with friends of God, with people of God, Father, we can live because of your life and because of what you gave to us. For Father, your faithfulness unto generations has stood steadfast. Father, you have created in us a new opportunity, a new being, a new creature, that, Father, you have given us life. You have breathed into us and blessed your people today. God, we are so thankful for your faithfulness. Thank you for the life that we live. Father, it is not of my own. I live because of the gift that God has given to us, and I live by faith because of the Son of God. Father, I'm grateful, God, for all that you have done and all that you are doing. I'm grateful for the good report of how Gary is improving, God, and looking forward to getting home. And I'm grateful, God, for the blessings that you have provided. I'm grateful that, you know, God, I can make mistakes and forget things, and Father, your blessings still reign. And Father, I'm thankful for the wonderful smile that Jackie has and the celebration of her birthday, God. And I know that you blessed her, God, and I know you'll continue to bless her. But, Father, we celebrate with her and give thanks for Jackie and her birthday. Father, I give thanks for Georgianne and her birthday today. And right on the heel steps of Fred, Father, her wonderful husband, bless them today, Father. Bless them as they celebrate their birthday. Bless us, God, as we celebrate this birth in Jesus Christ. Bless us, Father, as we celebrate a Holy Spirit that is present in this place. Father, we give thanks to you, knowing your goodness and your richness goes beyond our understanding. Father, we have been made for more than just this. We weren't called to be tending a grave You've called us by name and you've called us out, God, that we should rise up above all circumstances and give you glory today. God, there are many that are missing today. We know that some are away sick and some are out on vacation. Father, bless your people today. Father, I continue to ask your touch upon Suzanne as she's going through treatment. Father, bless her today as she is at home. Thank you that Charlotte's with us today, God, and thank you that we're celebrating in your house. Father, I continue to ask for your touch upon Gary, upon Sister Jean as she's not feeling well, upon Renew and Ivana, Father, that you'll bless them and those that are away, and my friends, God, Scott and Rob, who are going through treatment. Father, bless us. Prepare me, God, as I go in for surgery on Thursday. Father, bless my lovely wife that she'll have lots of patience with a guy like me who just wants to be everywhere and do all things. Father, it'll be a time. And I pray, God, thank you for allowing me to finish this project this semester and get ready for some time of recovery and healing. But Father, pour your spirit out on the doctors, the nurses, my wife, my home, God, the church. Father, I pray for Pastor Salim in Bungoma. God, he's preparing for a revival. God, there needs to be a revival in our church, pouring out your spirit upon all people, all walks. Father, bless Pastor Mark and Brent and Tom and the churches around our area. Pour out your spirit, God, that together we may worship a risen Savior. Father, it doesn't matter what the political climate is around us, whether one candidate is 4 points above the other. It doesn't matter to me, God. What matters is what you have done for us, God, and what you are doing for us. And Father, that we trust in you and not the climate around us, not in global warming, but Father, we trust in you because you are our solid rock today. And God, we pray for our leaders. We pray for the first responders. We pray for those out working today, God. And I pray for my friends that, Father, you will just bless them. But I pray that you'll bless us today, Father, as you pour out your spirit upon us, that we will just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, that we can just nuzzle up and hear the word of God, that we can just reach into the depths of you, Father, that you will be our living water, that you'll be the God who opens our eyes. You'll be the God that heals our legs. You'll be the God who restores our hearing, that you'll be a God that restores our mouth, that will speak your praises, sing your glory, reach out to the highest heights, Father, to know that you are still active and working in this place. Oh God, we thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that, Father, even in the midst of things breaking down, God, you're making a way. You told Isaiah that you'll make streams in the wasteland and rivers in the deserts. That, God, you are a God that allows us to nuzzle up and we'll soar to the highest heights. Father, bless your people today. Father, even as we are small, Father, that you'll reach out and touch those who are watching, those that are present, Father, that your spirit will flow with us. Oh, God, we thank you so much for your love and grace. And I'll ask all of this in the wonderful power of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. To you be glory and honor forever and ever. And truly all God's people can say, amen, amen. Well, this morning you got to sing a couple of hymns. It may not be in the traditional fashion that you're used to, but you got to sing a few hymns. It's hard, trust me, to find songs that flow in a traditional fashion. Us Church of God folks like to sing them in a different way. I put this title up. Go ahead, John. Put away things and put on the Holy Spirit. Paul's writing to the church. We're still in the book of Ephesus, Ephesians, We're looking at the latter parts of Ephesians chapter 4, just kind of hinging on this subject. But I called this put away things and put on. You know, we're almost to the time, I know most of us don't even want to talk about it, but we're about ready to put away our summer clothes and start thinking about fall clothes. Let's see. This is August. We got September, October, November, December, and we're about 4 months away from Christmas. Everybody's like, oh, yuck. But you know, we have a tendency sometimes to clean house, right? You got clothes that don't fit, shoes that you don't wear, coats that are not up to style, and you're ready for new style and new things. And sometimes we have to put some things away. But what do I mean, put on the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, because that's one of those misnomers that we just don't like to talk about in the church, the Holy Spirit. But I really believe there are some churches that think that the only manifestation of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Well, that Holy Spirit has a lot more power than just what we speak out of our mouth. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit. When it encompasses the people of God, there is new life, there's new hope, there's justification, there's redemption, there's the shedding of the blood, and the power that God gives us from this Holy Spirit is more than just speaking in tongues. He's got, last week we spoke of the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, all of that. When God engulfs our lives and the power of the Holy Spirit is put on us, we're ready to throw off that which hinders us, and we want to run the race that is put before us. So we're going to talk a little bit about putting off things and putting on the power of the Holy Spirit. John Wesley writes this from a long time ago. He said, "It is the Spirit that sheds the love of God abroad in their hearts, and the love of mankind, thereby purifying the hearts from the love of the world, from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is by Him that they are delivered from anger and pride and all vile and inordinate affections. What John Wesley is trying to say to us is what Paul says here in this book, which we'll see in just a second, that it's time that we put off some of the things that might separate us as people. What we're going to look at, this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, let's do that. We're going to pick up at verse 25 and carry us into chapter 5, verse 2. Here we see that Paul uses that wonderful language that I love, therefore. And we always have to ask ourselves, what's it there for? Well, because of what he has just previously told us, and what we celebrated last week, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Boy, those are wonderful words that are spoken a lot of times at weddings. Never let your sun go down while you're still angry. And he said, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Now that is a huge passage, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. God, had a blessing, you may be seated. Do you think Paul was having a little trouble with the church at Ephesus? Do you think the church at Ephesus was struggling a little bit? It would seem that Paul is trying to deliver some important information that would keep the church solid built together in unity. It's always hard to take a look at ourselves. It's always hard to self-examine, you know. What am I doing? How can I improve? What kind of things should I improve on? Do I need to work on my conversations, my attitudes, my emotions? Is there physical things that I'd like to change? Oh, by the way, are there spiritual things? Paul begins in this little pericope. And pericope comes from the word that encompasses a certain block of thought. So oftentimes we will look at certain scriptures. And for me, I try not to be specific with little single scriptures. You know, sometimes they can lead us in a multitude of ways. I try to give you a block that encompasses that thought. And that's where the word pericope comes. I don't want to just give you my own significance of one scripture. But sometimes we need to look real hard at ourselves. As we encounter this text, it's imperative that we spend some time in self-examination. Where are we at this present moment? Sometimes things can be lacking. Samuel Johnson wrote this, "The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." Did you hear that? Sometimes habits, you know, and it takes a couple of days to form a habit. When habits become part of what we do, they're hard to break. You know, I would imagine over the next few days, it's going to be hard to get out of the habit of not getting up and having coffee at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to have to figure out how to drink a little bit more when I'm awake at later times. But you know, habits are hard. Some of us have habits that we really believe are important habits, you know. It's the habit of praying, habit of reading the scriptures. And sometimes, Samuel Johnson writes, the pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The realist adjusts the sails. How about that? The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. And the realist just adjusts the sails. The psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 26, verse 2, David writes, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try me. Test my heart." This word "examines" means to literally test it, as if in testing metals. It's reminiscent of Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. "As the refiner and purifier of silver, he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that may offer the Lord his righteousness. As the dross of self-will, personal ambition and pride must be removed. A gold refiner watches the metal. And part of that is to see that is his image reflected in that. Once the image is reflected, he knows that all of the impurities are out. A self-examination is important in testing the process. Haggai says to consider your ways. The admonition is repeated over and over again. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12, we are told to apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ear to the words of knowledge. Once we know what to do, we must do it. James tells us that if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he resembles a man who goes and looks at himself in the mirror. You know what happens when he walks away from the mirror? Forgets what he looks like. But he who looks intently into what is the perfect law of freedom continues in it. What James is trying to tell us is that we need to some self-examination, some hard looks. And at first look at this passage, without considering it, you might consider there's too many negatives. A lot of do's and don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that, but do this. Well, earlier, Paul gave us an extensive list, contrasting. And he bluntly tells them, so then, earlier on in the book of Ephesians, he said, now remember, at one time you were Gentiles by birth. You were uncircumcision, and you were called to a physical circumcision, not made by hands, not made by human hands, but by the power of God. He's calling us to reflect on where we have been, a hard look at ourselves, a hard look as a comparison. And he says their old reality was an alienation from God. The new reality says that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. We need to take a look to say, this is where I was at, this is where I'm at now, and this is where I'm heading. Paul gives us a glimpse to say, we need to throw off those things. We need to set aside the things that might separate us. And we need to build together this body of Christ. We need to take a hard look and say, God, what is it? Sometimes in the morning, in power of prayer, I will stop and I'll ask the Holy Spirit, and I'll simply, before I even begin my day and even before I begin breakfast, I'll say, Holy Spirit, what's keeping me from worshiping you? What's keeping me from doing all that I set out to do? Holy Spirit, what do you need to remove? And Holy Spirit, what do you need to impart in my life? Because sometimes we're going to face situations, and we need to take a hard look and say, Holy Spirit, what's keeping me from a solid relationship with you? What's holding me back? What's forcing me down? What's guarding my soul? What do I need to let go? Because you know, the hard look says, there are sometimes my emotions and attitude are not in line. Or is it just me? You know, sometimes the old self has a way of creeping in, doesn't it? You get bitter, you get emotional, you get stressed. This whole scheme here isn't about the do's and don'ts. It's about contrasting inner relationships. It's about determining what is separating me. What are the negative behaviors? What are things that I need to strip off? Well, Paul says not only should we take a hard look at ourselves, but we need to move from the negative to the positive. You know, that's difficult for us. Paul's introspection not as about the do's and don'ts. The scope of behavioral instruction and the directive and the motivations are springboards for actions. You know, what happens is that oftentimes we focus on the negative. What do you think the media wants to tend us to do? Now, let's be honest. If you listen to the news reports, if you listen to what's going on, if you look at all of the directives, it's so filled with negative. They want you to see the world is in chaos and shambles. And this prospective candidate is going to change all of that for you. They're going to build the roads and they're going to fix everything for you, right? And if you just vote for this candidate, everything's going to be so much better. Wasn't I mistaken that the stock market took about a 1,200-point drop this past week, and it sent chaos? The Nikkei dropped almost 2,500 to 4,500 points in one day. You want to send shockwave through your financial accounts? Watch that happen in one moment. You see, what happens is there's this negative attitude that, oh, yeah, well, it's just realigning itself, and the world is getting ready for a major recession. Oh, boy, you better sit back. Hold on. See, people focus on the negative. They focus on what's going wrong in the world and the economy around us. And God says, I want you to focus on the author and perfecter of my faith. Don't trust in the things. Don't put things where moth and rust and corruption comes in and steals and kills and destroys. He said, focus on me, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. He told him in John, he said, there is no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, I get concerned about those things. Yes, we've had to take some serious looks, you know, being off of work 2 to 3 months possibly in the next week. I'm going to go, okay, what's going to change? Well, nothing's going to change. I'm still going to be doing everything that I did. Well, what God wants us to do is to see that we must trust in Him. And He tells us to lean not on your own understanding. But Paul says we need to edify behaviors that build up. He tells us that we're the body of Christ. We need to put off the negative behavior. You know, it's time. You got a negative person in your life? Walk away. That person that always fills you with, every time you want to talk to them, they want to go, woe is me, the world is going to crash, the stock market's going to boom, you better hide all your money in Mr. Sacco. I got a good place for it if you have some trouble worrying about where to put it. I mean, I'm good with it. If you're having trouble figuring out what to do with that money you just got sitting around laying waste, I'll take good care of it for you. See, the pastor, now you've gotten it over the past month or so. I've already spoke on tithes how many times? Haven't done it for years. And I've done it a lot now here lately, asking for your money. Honestly, I'm really blessed. You know, there are people, and I can't even begin to imagine. You guys are awesome. I'm so appreciative of your giving and giving to the Lord. I don't look at it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be concerned about it, because God is a God who restores all things. God's got a plan. I don't have to worry about what's in the bank account, because God has given us wisdom to go in the right direction. And people are just muscling up and they're giving. So, but if you got any extra, you know, I'll take a hold of that. But what I want you to get is Paul is telling us it's time for the church at Ephesus. We got to move away from the negative. We need to build each other up. We need to tell each other, you're looking good today, buddy. You're looking good today, gal. Just keep moving and keep moving away from the negative. Well, I want to focus just a few minutes on this. Put on the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of angst about this whole idea of the Holy Spirit. And there's no angst in my life about it, because I know that from the moment I received Christ, that Holy Spirit was present. It was present in my salvation, and it's present today. And I hope the power of the Holy Spirit just engulfs your life and sets you on fire. But Jesus tells us very clearly that the power to live as His disciple today comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word for the power of the Holy Spirit comes from the word dunamis. And if you know that, and you've heard me say it before, dunamis is the root word for dynamite. And dynamite in power, we know, is one of the strongest that we can see. We used to travel along West Virginia and Virginia, along I-77 South, when they were cutting a way through the mountains. They used to have blasting zones to where that they would core and put in dynamite to blow the rock away. That's the same power and force that Paul is talking about in the power of the Holy Spirit. And although the Holy Spirit is quite prominent in the New Testament, some would say, well, the Holy Spirit's not present in the Old Testament. Well, if you've been around me long enough, you know that ain't true. You know when in the book of Ezekiel, when he breathed into the dry bones and he brought them to life, who was the Holy Spirit that was present blowing in to breathe life into them? Who was the Holy Spirit that was present when God breathed into the life that we so call ourselves? That Holy Spirit is evident in the Old Testament. It's evident in the New Testament. And it's present and active not only in creation, but inspiring the prophets, anointing and empowering the leaders of Israel, judges, kings, and all throughout Jerusalem, Israel, all throughout the lands. And that Holy Spirit is powerful today. It began to come out of the shadows in the fuller light of Christ and the church. The Holy Spirit's personhood is crucial in the work of the kingdom and the disciples. Jesus speaks fully about that in John chapter 14 through 16. As far as we can see, the Spirit is a person. It is the counselor. It is that parakletos. It is that one that attaches itself to you. That paraclete gives us a wonderful illustration that in Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you and attaches to your life. You can't shake it off. That paraclete doesn't want to leave you. It wants to empower you, and it wants to hang on to you, and it wants to give you power. It wants to teach you. It wants to guide you. It wants to fill you. It wants to give you life and the source of life to become more than all that we are. You know, this work of pulling off the negative, the Spirit carries the work of Christ, makes it present in the world around us. In terms of discipleship, the Holy Spirit implies the working of people. He brings God's likeness of salvation. It helps us to conform to the likeness. It covers the spectrum of our life. The Holy Spirit is present and active. And then, oh, by the way, we get the blessings of the Holy Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Above all these, put on Jonathan's favorite word, love. But earlier in this letter, Paul tells the church at Ephesus that we need to remember how you heard the word of truth and believed in him. He says earlier in Ephesians 1:13 that you're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working to ensure that we have eternal life, to ensure that we walk in faith, that we're rooted and grounded in the breath of his love. It empowers us as apostles and teachers and prophets. And oh, by the way, that same Holy Spirit is the one that speaks through our mouth that we might edify the church, that we might give glory to God. And whether you're speaking in tongues or whether you're worshiping God, that Holy Spirit is the power that reaches in the depth of your life, that flows into you and flows out from you, that it may reach others and touch God's garment. It is the Holy Spirit that walks with you. It is the Holy Spirit that gives you a deeper experience. It helps you understand the power of Christ. Paul said, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. What we see in the text is this Greek word filled is a present tense, plural, passive voice, and imperative. What he's saying is that it's a command. It's not just asking you. It's not just suggesting that you do this. It's not just recommending. What Paul is trying to say in this current voice is that it's an imperative and it's a continuous action. The Holy Spirit needs to empower your life, not just this moment, but every day. I want him active in where I'm going. I want him active when I'm drinking coffee. I want him active when I'm driving down the road, because I need the Holy Spirit then for sure. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, if you'll attend some churches, they're going to tell you the only manifestation of the Holy Spirit's power is speaking in tongues. Okay, so be it. Let it be. I want it to be much more than that. That is only a small portion of what happens. The Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is a powerful entity in our life. Paul describes that it changes our attitude, it changes our behavior, it gives us new life in Christ, it shows us that we don't have to grieve it, we're sealed by it, we're empowered by it, and it leads us in every step of our life. Thus, we are to put on the Holy Spirit, the forms of the Holy Spirit, the evidences of it, the working of the Holy Spirit. It is much bigger. It is almost as if we have put on Christ itself. Well, part of the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If we put on the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is evident in our life and we've thrown off everything else, we are like walking in Christ. Paul encourages us to put on that Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit agree in ourself, to get rid of the old self and put on the new self. Well, if you're going to put away things and you're going to put on the Holy Spirit, finally, the last dimension of this is that we're not going to imitate the world. You know, there are some that believe they want to put on what the world suggests that we wear. They want to be just like the world. They want to walk as the world. They want to talk as the world. They want to epitomize what the world has to say. You know, if you're not hip with the lingo, you're not part of the way things are going. You're not cool. You're not part of that way. You're not talking. You're not pounding fists the right way. You're not shaking hands. The world has ways that you need to imitate to be part of it. Really? You know, over the years, I've kind of looked and went, okay, well, if that's what the world wants, then I don't want part of it. If we're called to separate ourselves and come out from the world and separate ourselves from it, then I don't want to imitate the world. I'd rather imitate Christ. What's that mean? It means I got to put on love, and I got to be like Christ. I got to learn to forgive. I got to learn to heal. I got to learn to love, accept others, to share with others, to share the blessing. Christ looked at people, and he didn't care what the external looked at. He didn't care whether they were poor or smelly or sick. God loved them, and Christ loved them. To imitate him means that we need to put on those things. The Holy Spirit will be part of that. You want to imitate the world? You want to look like the world? So be it. You know, we have these fashions today to where if you're not wearing the right clothes, if you're not using the right purse, or you're not speaking, you know, if you're not driving the right Ford and you're driving that Dodge. I'm kidding you, Louie. You know, if you're not driving that Genesis or that new electric car, you're not part of the world. Look, you got to get with the standard. Really? I still remember my first car. That old 1974 Chevy Vega. Rust bucket hatchback. I had to put my own 8-track tape player in it. Then I had to buy the adapter so I could play the CDs when they were changing. For a long time, I kept those 8-tracks. I wanted to play them things again. But I grew up in that time. And you see, the world changes and evolves. And they think, well, if you want to be like the world, you got to accept the standards that the world has. No, you don't. That's them putting on the world in your life. The Holy Spirit says, hey, you want to conform to true righteousness and holiness? You want a new believer, a new self? Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. I give Louis some grief. He's a big old Dodge fan, and I'm a Ford fan. Okay. I said to Beth the other day, let's go get a different kind of vehicle. She says, not if you're working at Ford. I'm not going to do that. My point is they look at the car you drive, and it determines who you are. Am I correct? You got so much money in your bank account, you're wearing the right kind of clothes, the world looks at it and says, you're successful. My success isn't determined by the car I drive or the shoes that are on my feet. My success is determined by a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, who has a river of pure life, who has mansions of gold and sublime. My God says He'll defeat all the enemies of the world, and one day we're going to stand before Him, and we're going to have to determine, is it all of the stuff that I drive and eat and drink, or is it all about righteousness and pure joy from Him? You want to imitate the world? You got to put off some things. But if you're going to imitate the world, you need to put on the world. But I want to put off those things and imitate Christ in my life. Well, Paul has some wonderful message for us. But the important aspect is the power of God in what He was doing, bringing people together that we might worship God. Kind of a silly little message to put off things, but put on the Holy Spirit. Father, pray that You'll bless Your people today. Then in true holiness, God, You give us wisdom and grace to worship You. Thank You for this time. Thank You for the words that You've given to us. Bless Your people now in Your holy name. Amen. Well, I picked a song in closing. It's by Adrienne Lishing. I think you'll recognize the words to this. In Christ alone is what I want. My hope is found, it's in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
That comforter, the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the one He came,
till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
How's it going to be today? Is He my comforter, my all in all? The death of Christ was not the end of it. It was only the beginning. The power of the grave is that He rose again. The power of the cross is that it's bare. In Him we live and move and have our being. It is in Christ alone. And I'm going to put off the old self. Correct.
His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Father, I just pray that You'll bless Your people today, that here in the love of Christ we stand and move and go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, the grave is empty and the cross is bare, but here we are in the power of Your love and grace. Bless Your people today, God. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Raise them up to life again. What can heal